Today on Real Radio.
This might be somewhat shocking. Idols. Idols in our lives. In the 21st century, we have more sophisticated idols than I think than any other time in human history.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we've already had a look at the first commandment, which says that we're to have no other gods before the true God of Israel, who is indeed the creator of all. Now, the next commandment is pretty much an elaboration of the first, specifically dealing with idols, which, by the way, are part of Western culture more than you might think. Now, let me encourage you every day to spend some time with us here on Real Radio, because this series on the Ten Commandments will change your life. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Idols and You.
And so we want to locate the idol or idols in our lives. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10, 17 says, "Now as he was going on the road, one came running." That shows enthusiasm. "He knelt down before him." That's Jesus. This man has enthusiasm and he has devotion. "And he asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?'" He says there at the end of verse 18, that is God. Verse 19, "And you know the commandments," he says to the young man. "Do not commit adultery." Notice, that is a horizontal. Jesus is speaking to him horizontally. So that man could say right back, I haven't committed adultery. "Do not murder." That man could say, "I didn't murder Jesus." "Do not steal." "I've never stolen a thing." "Do not bear false witness." "Haven't done it." "Do not defraud." "Haven't done that." "Honor your father and mother." "Got it." These are all horizontal commandments. I'm good, this man says, with everybody around me. Now, he says he is. He thinks he is. By the way, we've met people like this. They're very, very humbly self-righteous. I'm not kidding. I was watching a certain Christian television program. Lisa and I were watching it, and the guy got done with his program, and he said, "I'd like you to call in or go online to the station and buy a message that I just produced. I just did this message on humility, and it's the best message I've ever heard." He said that. We couldn't believe it. Lisa and I looked at each other and said, "Wait a minute, what did he say?" We rewound it. He said it. "I'm so humble, I just gave the best message I've ever heard." That's an idol, my friend. This guy would have that self-evaluation. "Oh man, I'm doing good. I'm so good. I'm a good Christian. I've got everything happening. I'm young." The Bible tells us when we put all four gospels together that this is none other than the rich young ruler. This guy's got it all. And he says, "I'm fine." Now remember, Jesus said, there's only one good but God. This guy is saying that he is not perfect, but really, really close. He knows people like that? "And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" You can see the little gleam, the little sparkless tooth. Ding! "Then Jesus, looking at him," notice this, "loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Now, you and I know right now that that's not how a person gets saved, is it? You don't sell stuff to inherit heaven. What is Jesus doing? He's trying to peel back the man like an onion to get down to the deep-seated core. And that was this, that man's pride of being really good in action, in reality, was not so good. He did not do all these bad things to people. And he did the right things to people that he was supposed to do right things to. He honored his mom and dad. Everything according to his rule book and self-assessment was excellent. Jesus now reveals the spirit of the law. And this is where every one of us come up short. When Jesus said to him, "Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, pick up your cross and come and follow me," That's not how you go to heaven. How you go to heaven is having the idols removed from your life by the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who moves in and pushes all that stuff out of the way. Yes, he's the Savior of mankind. Yes, but is he your Savior? Yes, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, but is he your Lord? Is there some area in your life that you are not allowing Jesus to be the Lord over that thing? Are you holding out on something? You're just like this rich young ruler. I'm just going to do that. I'm doing this. I'm doing pretty doggone good. I'm doing this, and I'm serving here, and I'm giving that, and I'm doing all this stuff, but I got this thing right over here. I got this thing, and I'll get to it sometime. I'll work on it sometime. But this is my thing. It's just, you know, we're not all, you know, I'm a human. When you hear that, people will say, oh, excuse my French, but poor French, huh? They cuss at every turn? No, we're not going to excuse your French. You blow up, oh, I'm sorry, I'm Irish. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? What is that? Has nothing to do with it. It's that area that you say, the lordship of Jesus Christ hasn't come here yet. Why? I haven't let it in. I'm holding out. You may be here tonight and you're very faithful to church, but the Spirit is speaking you right now and in your heart. He's saying, listen, there's an area of your life. You don't let me in. Jesus touched this man's heart. Look what happens. Verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word. How come? He went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Are possessions a sin, church? The truth is, the possessions had him. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Riches don't keep you out. Your heart, my heart, has a tendency to gravitate to whatever you think is really cool. Isn't it interesting that someone's riches may be your trash? And your trash may be someone's riches? This is no more sin than at a garage sale. I mean, you're getting rid of junk, and people pull up and say, I can't believe, are you willing to part with this? And you're like, hello, yeah, I guess I'll have to part with it. Well, the truth of the matter is, how you look at stuff, you may look at something and say, well, that's worthless to me. You have no need for that, so it's not your thing. It's not even a temptation. But I might look at something and say, wow, that's wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. In that moment, it's one thing to compliment someone on something that they have and God gets the glory and you thank God for it. The moment you say, hey, that's really, really something. And then the next silent thought in my mind is, I wish I had it. Okay? Immediately, I'm sinning. I don't look like I'm sinning. I don't appear to you to be sinning. But I'm sinning because I'm looking at something and I see it as something I need to have, I want to have, or I'm going to take that thing. And that covetousness that we'll study in following weeks, that envy, is all based upon idol worship. And it's among us. We have to fight it every day. Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, look at that, there your heart will be also. So locating your idol, understand this, church, this is surgery time. The idols in your life and my life will be found in our hearts. They will be found in our heart. And who knows the heart but God? But God tells us secrets about our own hearts. And one great thing is that he wants us to deal with this issue of idols. And so Jesus touched the man right in the heart. And the man was convicted. And imagine this. He's looking at Jesus. Now remember all that he went through. He came running. He kneels down. Good teacher, what must I do to be saved? By the way, the term, you didn't go around saying good day, good teacher, because it was a title reserved for God alone. That's another reason why Jesus said, why do you call me good? It's too bad that the guy didn't say, because you're God. But he couldn't say that. He didn't have any room to say it. Listen, today, tonight, are you able to say that Jesus is not only God, but he's the Lord of your life? Can you say that and mean it? Remember how 1 John, the Bible, tells us that You and I cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people can say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But that's not what the verse means. The verse means you can't say it and mean it unless it's by the Spirit of God dwelling in your life. To say it and not mean it is to bear the ultimate false witness. And so this man couldn't say that. There was no room. And Jesus located his idol. And you and I, church, listen. My heart's a little saddened about what I'm just going to say just now. And I'll never know it on this side of eternity, but I would love to know that tonight with this challenge, that every one of you would go home tonight without TV, without music or whatever, and you'd get alone. And you'd say, God, show me the idols in my heart. If you were to do that, your Christian walk would explode. It would take off. But the sad thing is, very few people will get alone with God and let him turn on his light. And someday, though, we're going to stand there with him and he's going to turn on the light. We're going to stand there in absolute light. The Bible says that the light that emanates from God, the heavens and the earth will flee away from him. Imagine that. And so I'm going to invite you tonight to locate the idol that's in your heart. Is it someone? Is it a person? Is it an ambition? What's the treasure? What is there that you are guarding at all cost? Church, the heart where these things reside, the heart that you and I are to defend, we hear Bible studies, we pray, we talk to God. It deals, incorporates the ears, the mind, the soul, then the spirit of who we are, and then it's lived out in our lives. The only way you'll find out who you are really loyal to in this world is regarding your worship life. I wish I could tell you something differently. I can't. It's your worship life. Please, church, if your worship life is only these songs here on Wednesdays and Sundays, I urge you tonight to stop that and reevaluate your own investment and start throwing yourself into worship to the Lord. Is it too much to say that I believe, at least the Christians I've known in life, that they have to worship? And I'm not talking about, well, you know, my pitch is a little off. Pitch off. I have no pitch. I'm counting on God being blessed by my squealing and screeching when I'm alone with him. This is serious stuff that we practice, the removal of idols in our life, because listen, we could leave church tonight and turn on Kiss FM or K Earth or I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's out there, but what's out there? You say, oh, praise the Lord, we've come to worship you. And then ding, 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 bell's out. Church is over. Go, go, car, car, car. Push it. Floor it. Go, go, go. You get out of the church parking lot and and all of that goes. And don't tell me that music's not powerful. It's powerful. Have you ever been a worshiper of God and you hear a song and you go, oh my gosh, I remember. And the Lord says, turn it. Have you ever had that in your heart? Go, the Lord says, delete that, turn the channel. He's speaking. Why? It's a big deal. Things can take root. It's the worship of the heart. 2 Samuel 24:24. David said, I will not offer or burnt offerings to the Lord my God without which cost me nothing. It's got to cost me to worship God. Whatever's convenient, listen, whatever's right there, whatever, listen, idols will always be conveniently close. It could be a click on a keyboard. It could be a dial on a radio. It could be a glance in this direction or that. It could be whatever. Be careful. And we want to take time to locate the idols in our lives. Number two tonight is this. The second commandment requires this of us, that we are to be identifying our idols. And this means that you and I know why they are our idols, why they're welcome in our life. This might be somewhat shocking. Idols. Idols in our lives. In the 21st century, we have more sophisticated idols than I think than any other time in human history. We don't have statues. We don't pull them around. We don't have donkey carts with some goddess made out of stone. No. But we have them in our pockets. We have them on our iPads or our iPhones or whatever you have. It could be that. It could be television. It could be certainly something that pulls us away. But listen, idols, note this, idols don't require faith. They're fun. Why? They're right there. You can look at it. It takes no faith. Not only do idols not take any faith, but the truth of the matter is this, they don't take any obedience either. There's no obedience required. They may not require faith and they may not require obedience, but you know what? They wind up consuming all that we have. Last night, I had a ministry day trip. We went to see someone who is struggling through some great illness and flew up to Northern California and spent time with them, turned around, flew right back. And at the airport, all these people were sitting around. Okay, granted, they're probably business travelers, but they're sitting around nonetheless. It's very quiet. CNN news is on the terminal as they're waiting by the gate. No one's watching. I walk up and I just look around, and it was nighttime, so the lights are nice and dim, and people have this bluish kind of neon glow about their face, and they're all like this. Everyone's like this. And then you get on the plane, it's all quiet. Everyone's like this. What? That's my seat. What? Oh, okay, right. They're oblivious. Listen, do you go to church and Twitter around here? Huh? Think about it. Think about how easy it is. No, you might say, oh gosh, but Pastor Jack, I love the Lord. I'm not doubting that you love the Lord. Do you see how technology, I'm telling you right now, maybe I'm confessing my own life right here. Maybe you're not honest enough to agree with me right now. Huh? You're like this, you're going. And then here's the big comeback. It's okay, I have the Bible on my phone. So that's what you're doing? You're studying the Bible? You may be. But just know this, people sitting around you are thinking, is he studying the Bible? Or is he texting somebody? You say, well, is there a sin? Is that against the law? Could be. Could be. If you're driving, it's against the law. It's a sin if you're not paying attention to the work of the Holy Spirit that's coming out of the gift of teaching that God puts upon a pastor or teacher. Yes. Think about it. It'd be like you going to the Harvest Crusade and Greg Laurie's preaching his guts out and you brought a friend and you're going, is it good so far? Are you getting anything out of this? Because you know what? The Lakers are up by 2, man. You know what I'm talking about? That's an idol. It is a true blown idol because it's taking, robbing, stealing your attention away from where it should be directed. You see how ugly this room is? Look how ugly this room is. Look around. Go ahead, get it out of your system. Look around. You cannot say, that room's distracting. Some of us have to sit in the front row when we go places because we're so easily distracted. That's a good discipline. So we need to have more rows up front from now on, huh? Identifying your idols. Most likely, listen, it's very personal, identifying your idol. It's very important to you. There's a great sense of achievement with it or belonging or feeling. I'm making fun of technology, but it could literally be a new set of curtains in the front window of your home. And you know, listen, it's not good if you put them up and you go outside. I wonder what the neighbors think when they come by. Do they think that's cool? Because it looks cool to me. Be careful, man. So subtle these things begin. And they can seize control. They can cause us to change our decision about things or what we're going to do because this thing has come up. This idol's got in the way. We need to identify the idol. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Why? Because that often traffics with it. Nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches. Everybody knows this since 2008. But in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Look at that verse on the screen. Translation, watch out. Timothy, warn people who are rich. It's okay that they're rich. Warn them because they have to be very responsible that they manage their riches because with wealth and power comes a haughty spirit. They can look down at people and that's not a good thing. But to do this rather, to trust in God. Why? Because there is an uncertainty in riches. They can easily vanish. God counters the global economy by saying that he's able to give you richly everything that pertains to God in this life. All of a sudden, that is valuable to you or it's not. All of a sudden you say, wow. Or you say, oh man. The division that may be taking place right now in the silence of your soul is because there's an idol there. Identifying your idols. An idol in your life is that thing that has promised you everything. It can't talk, but it's promised you everything. And it's produced nothing. An idol always underperforms. I'm talking to the Christian right now. An idol in your life, Christian, could be the reason why you're following Jesus Christ. Think of that for a moment. Christian, an idol could be your reason why you're following Jesus Christ. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, make me rich. Jesus, you see where I'm going with this? Jesus is my good luck charm. Jesus is my rabbit's foot. You say, nobody would ever say that. Oh, listen. The moment reality hits and your Jesus did not produce the money or the health or the power or the whatever. Jesus, save my house. Because there's so many foreclosures taking place. What if Jesus wants you to lose the house? That can't be from God. Of course it could be. Wasn't Jesus homeless? Of course it could be from God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that examines the second of the Ten Commandments, which deals with idols. It's a look at how idolatry is part of our Western culture and our daily life more than we even realize. It's called Idols and You. It's an examination of commandment number 2. And it's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which takes a look at the Ten Commandments. And if you get a chance, set aside some time to be with us every day to get through this entire Ten Commandments series, because it will make a big difference in your life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we brought to you Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in commemoration of Passion Week. But if you think about it, Only the Cross is a series of messages that really is important every day of the year. That's why we're offering Pastor Jack's series, Only the Cross, in a 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. Only the Cross in a 4-DVD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. RealRadioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at RealRadioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.